Savage Cut. Real talk, no filter on Savaged Unfiltered. Savaged.
Hey guys, what is up? Happy podcasting to everyone that's tuning in. I'm your host, Savage, here. Joining me, bringing him right back, guys. It's been a hot minute since he's been on the show, hasn't it, Joe? Joseph M. Leonard, known as Jokester Joe. Welcome, buddy.
Yeah, cue the Aerosmith.
I'm back in the saddle again.
Yeah. Cue that fucking Aerosmith. But I'm glad to have Joseph back, you know, doing a little bygones with bygones. I'm not going to lie. Me and Joe had a little falling out, but, you know, we kind of patched things up. It happens, you know, even in talk radio, some of the greats, you know, they have their fights every now and then. But it's good to have you back, Joe. What the fuck have you been up to since the last time I chatted with you?
Oh, busy, busy, busy. You're working on your next book. I got my next book. Should drop June 1st, so wrapping that up. And, of course, busier than a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest with my own Constitutionalist Politics podcast. I've stepped up. I'm still dropping every Saturday like a monologue show, but I've decided to add more guests as Wednesday midweek drops. So keeping me busy.
Yeah, I see that. I was checking out some of the shows with Rick Walker there up in Canada. You know, he had a good show the other day. I thought that was fucking phenomenal. Got into a lot of political views, man. Rick Walker, man, he's like, I give him props, Joe. I mean, he lets you talk, and sometimes you don't hear a peep out of him. You know, he'll just let you talk and talk, and I'm like, there's Rick. Rick's coming in now, you know?
Yeah. Well, like with my interviews that I've done, that I've dropped lately, I just dropped Wednesday as we're recording on Thursday with Gista, the rapper.
Oh, okay.
Had Bullseye the Clown, who toured with Patch Adams. So, a lot of fun, different guests that I... Uh-oh. Where'd you go, Michael? Did Michael freeze? Hey! Do not adjust your set. I am not hijacking the show, but I think something happened to Michael and he dipped out there. So I'm just now stalling for time, unplanned, till he comes back. But at any rate, as a crutch I've developed on my show, I may as well mention some other people I've had on. Liz Enten, an atheist, to discuss the afterlife. That was a lot of fun. Chantal was on for a Valentine special. I had a faith engagement with former vice chair of the RNC, Drew McKissick. Oh, there's Michael. He's back.
No, this fucking network, Joe. I'm thinking about getting rid of it, man. It's been giving me a lot of glitches lately. I don't know if it's a restream thing, but it happened like twice this week. So I don't know what the fuck happened. I'll have to edit that shit out, but I'm not happy with them sometimes. But anyway, So we have this guest on that we're about to bring on. Goes by the name of Sage, Sage Outcast.
Oh, there's another song, Parsley, Sage, Rosemary, and Thyme. So we just got Sage. We don't got Rosemary and Thyme. Yeah.
I hope not. You know, do we have to fucking set a whole fucking, you know, like herb, you know, spices, and, you know, right next to the refrigerator, or do we have to, like, kind of move it over towards like the kitchen island?
Welcome to the spice rack, Sage. Ba-dum-bum.
So get this, Joe, before we bring him on, I didn't know who this guy was. I'm not, you know, belittling him. I'm not, you know, bashing him in any way, but I created a clip last week.
You know what? You know what one of the problems I also have that we need to be talking about is we're going to play this. You ready?
This little monologue that they have, because they have it on their menu, and they also have it on their website too. I think that is the best standard message that any bar or restaurant can put out in America. And I love how they do it because I look at it as a coming together type of thing, right?
Yeah.
Because you could look at our fucking society, right, man?
Right.
And we're like, we're probably like the most divided nation in the world right now.
Most divided nation in the world right now.
Huge amounts of conflict, division, diversity issues.
Yeah.
Don't get me started with the border. I mean, our country's a mess right now. It really is.
Yeah, absolutely. Most divided in the world. Most divided in the world.
I wouldn't, as a politician, I wouldn't even know where to start.
Thank God, because the most divided in the world right now. Now, I'm not...
Well, late last week. And I put a clip out with our country becoming divided. And I think it's divided more than ever. You know, we've talked about this when I had you on, you know, numerous of times, you know, with the current administration to the previous administration. And I hate to bring the whole comparison with, you know, Donald Trump and Joe Biden and everything, but I made a comment on our country becoming one of the most divided nations in the world. And you're clearly seeing that with huge amounts of division, conflict, diversity issues. You know, I did get into a little bit of the border. I mentioned it briefly, but I didn't get, you know, I was like, I made the comment at the end, you know, don't get me started with the fucking border. Because everything that you're seeing is pretty much bringing our country to that divided point, right? Politicians, you know, stirring the pot, both on both sides, aisles, Joe. You know, I don't want to be biased and say it's all the Democrats' fault, because you have some rhinos in there, some Republicans and some Cinos too that are doing it. But before we go any further, what's your thoughts on that, Joe? Because I want to bring our guests in.
Yeah, other nations are
Real talk, no filter on Savage.
I'm not advocating
Savage
for the Tree of Liberty, but I'm just saying, you know, some people are crying that may be the only alternative. I hope we can fix it at the ballot box still.
Yeah, me too. Guys, before we continue, I do want to say thank you to Starlink high-speed internet. That's right, guys. Elon Musk developing some awesome, awesome products over there with his Umbrella X and Star X Space. What am I saying? Oh, boy.
SpaceX.
I fucked up. There we go. It's been one of those names. Yeah, exactly. Joseph corrected me. But it's one of those days, Joe. You know, you forget to get the cup of coffee, and like it's like you slur a mile a minute. But I do want to say thank you to Starlink. They developed some of the greatest products with internet today. Literally, guys, available almost anywhere on the earth. I made some jokes and goofs and everything, saying that, you know, you can get this internet on a private island. You know, as long as you have like the little satellite dish that's on the island, you know.
Yeah, you've got, he's got an X in the logo, but it should be Starlink with an X, since he loves X. Like his PayPal was originally something else that he and Thiel started, had an X in it. I keep saying he needs to move Tesla to Texas and make
I agree with that. Yeah, I do agree with that. Yeah, because he loves that X. Yeah.
Then it would be Tesla for two reasons.
But guys, without further ado, I want to bring him on. God, he's been hanging out there in the digital green room forever. This is Sage. Welcome, Sage. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, how's it going? Take your time. I was listening to karaoke night just before you guys were getting started there.
So it's one of those days, Sage. You know, when you don't have the fucking cup of coffee, man, everything goes fucking haywire, you know?
And that's cool. But that Starlink too, if you guys haven't checked out that Starlink, definitely click on that link and support that thing. Because that thing, if I had to go anyplace with it, that was what I would be using to stream, for a steady, secure stream. So that's definitely something to think about, that Starlink.
So, appreciate it. Yeah.
Yeah. Besides that, yeah, basically what happened was I saw the video and I said, ooh, there's a good opportunity to throw a little bit of punches there, just because for that old, you know, style, nothing bad, but it that interaction sometimes is kind of fun. To allow, you know, that it brings a little drama, brings a little type of some interaction, some back and forth with different things. So I said, I'm going to give it a shot, see what he does. And you jumped right in, and that was impressive. Normally people run away. So I do want to commend you for jumping right in there and saying, you know, let's come on the show. Let's do this. So I do appreciate that.
Well, you know, Sage, I mean, you know, I want to say I kind of adapted the term. I've noticed other content creators using this term before, but I kind of adapted the term, and Joe will vouch for me. I consider myself a shockcaster, not a podcaster. So, you know, I jumped right in there and I was like, you know what? I mean, this guy's making a clip. And I commend you for doing it, because you're similar to me. I like making those little clips or snippets. Yeah.
And it's good too, because like I say this all the time too. It's like, I respect a lot more people if they're willing to stand up and say, okay, come on, you want to talk about this or you want to do this? Come on. Cause there's so many people nowadays that run away from discourse and debate, respectful discourse and debate, not, you know, cruelty. And that's kind of what our country was founded on. And we're losing the ability to be able to have that debate and that discourse with people that we may or may not agree with. And we're turning into these echo chambers. And so for me, a lot of times I'll throw something out there just to see. And for me, I earned a lot more respect for you when you jumped right on there and said, okay, who's coming on whose show first? Let's do this. So, I commend you for that. And here I am.
And speaking of karaoke night, are you doing your best Corey Hart imitation? I wear my sunglasses at night.
Yeah, pretty much. And I actually started wearing, when I first started doing this over on YouTube and stuff, I wore this hat and these sunglasses because I had lights right here. Now I'm able to move them for my green screen. And then I got known for wearing the sunglasses and the hat, and people started to make like memes about it. And I'm like, now, great. Now I can't take them off. So that's kind of what I just kept them on.
You've got to do ZZ Top for your show intro now, right? Cheap sunglasses, ba-dum-bum-bum.
Yeah. Ba-dum-bum-bum. I do a bunch of skits. So even when I wear like women's wigs or whatever skits I do, I still wear the sunglasses. So it's just who I am now.
Yeah, I love it. And by the way, guys, if you heard that just briefly, I think Sage put a little spoiler here, a little teaser into the show. I am going to join him on his podcast next Monday. So depending on how you listen to this episode, it, you know, it'll be kind of slotted in there. But Sage, I do want to say something here. You know, after, you know, hearing that clip and then, you know, presenting it on your platform there on X. Do you agree? And now you don't have to agree, but do you now understand where I'm going with that, Sage? With like our country becoming one, and I'll use that word correctly, one of the most divided nations in the world, you know, because of everything that we're seeing.
So a lot of the stuff that I also do is just so everybody kind of knows that what I do is I'm a logistics specialist. I've been in logistics for over 20 years, and I've also do things with think tanks, and I've consulted with like Epoch Times and things like that. So I do a ton of different research into different things. So a lot of the aspect that we're seeing also is that we see a lot more of the divide because of YouTube and because of the place that we get. There was a time just after World War I that almost echoes what we're seeing now. Even to the fact that you had things like the Spanish flu, and you had things going on there with different types of quarantining people and things like that, there was a lot of that type of controversy and conflict between groups. We've gone through things like the civil rights era, where that was obviously a lot of conflict and things like that. I think the issue is that we're closing it off more. Like we're jumping into our echo chambers where we don't want to listen to the other side, and we don't want to hear what the other side has to say. So the groups that we're being placed kind of into, and I do believe the government would rather you be in an echo chamber on your side than being able to have conversations with the other side. It seems a lot like it is, but in regards to being one of the worst conflicts or being one of the worst times, there has been a lot of different times. And we also have a lot of different countries with, just like you said earlier, that have gone into, that are in civil wars. They've been in wars. I've got a friend of mine that's over right now in dealing with the, it starts with an M. I'm trying to, I get them all confused. Malaria, whatever conflict. I'd have to look it up real quick. And they've been fighting that for years. So I think a lot of the issue that we're having is what we see is divided, but no, a lot of people that aren't being this, you know, fluctuated into this are still going to work, still doing their everything, and they're frustrated, but it's, we see the aspects of conflict, if that makes sense, more on YouTube and the more extreme sides of it on YouTube. I'm just gonna hang out and go fishing and do this and do this. So I think the concept of us becoming it is a lot more pushed on the fact that that's what we're seeing on YouTube. So if we take out the math of the percentage of it happening on YouTube to the 300 million people that are here, it's, I don't think it's as bad as we think. We have bad problems, but I don't think we're civil war bound yet, to be honest.
Yeah, 1 second, hold that thought. I do have a very special guest joining us, Mr. Albert Hawshaw, which is a Republican running for the state of New Jersey. And I want to get his comments on it because he's got a really, really, I don't want to say difficult campaign there in the state of New Jersey, but he will be joining us here momentarily. I see him in the green room prepping up his camera and everything. So just 1 second, Albert, bear with us. We're talking about a lot here on the show, talking about division, talking about conflict. Sage just mentioned a civil war possibly brewing up here. And I don't think it's brewing, Sage. I think it's already here. Some people can see it that way, but some people may have some, you know, some thoughts, you know, towards that. I want to get Joe's thoughts because Joe, go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, well, to your book, The Modern Civil War, it's more like a Cold War. It's not a hot Civil War, but it's a cold Civil War. We're in right. that, and we hope it doesn't turn hot. But to Sage's kind of point or what he was saying, we lost one of the last reasonable, moderate Democrats that I would actually love to have had conversation with of late, Joe Lieberman. Now, expect me to talk to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? No, not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see what you're saying. And guys, by the way, we put up a QR code here on the show. If you like what you're hearing, guys, please scan the... there's two QR codes. The one up in the left-hand corner here of your screen will go right to our main website, savagedunfiltered.com. All the information will be listed there with clips, snippets, just general links to what you're pretty much hearing on the show. Some, not all, but some. With future episodes and past episodes, both in video and audio content, as well too, guys. It helps out with the show. Support the show, guys. Just a little link with the little QR code. It goes right to our main network here through Spotify. So thank you very much. Back to the show. I do want to welcome Mr. Albert Hawshaw. Like I said, running for the state of New Jersey on the Republican side. How's it going?
Yeah, how's everybody doing today?
Good.
Doing good, man. Doing good. Tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you're a decorated military. I want to get into that. But I also, before I get into that, I want to get into why you decided to run in the state of New Jersey.
I decided to make the run because I believe that if we can get proper Americans that believe in us, the people, and believe in our foundation, and believe that we can act for our self-governance and betterment, that we can be better than what we've become. We've managed to destroy a lot of our infrastructure and opportunities for our young. We've cast aside things for veterans. Government and people have made war against our women and against our religious values, against our institutions, and they've been selling us out to globalist agendas. And we need to recapture that. We need these opportunities for our young so they can participate and make their own accolades in life and have those opportunities. And we need to safeguard people such as our veterans and our elderly, which we're doing a very bad job of at the moment.
Yeah, and I noticed that you do support that American First agenda, which is wonderful. I wish we see more candidates in your agenda and your perspective there.
I see it this way. I think two things. We need our borders and we need our energy independence and superiority, because without those, everything else collapses. You know, the energy determines our costs, everything from manufacturing to our food and everything else. The border is what secures us as a nation. Historically, whenever a nation's lost the border, that nation's vanished as well. There are things that uniquely make us what we call Americans. We're losing that. We're invaded by over people from 120 different countries. The left like to ideologue and saying, well, it's the Mexicans. Well, it's not. It's 120 different countries worth of invaders. And a lot of them are undocumented. They don't show up for the courts. 3 million of them are of military fighting age. This is problematic. And if we're going to be a nation, if we're going to provide opportunities and energy independence and reform, and how we think about education and involvement and engagement in society, we need to have our borders. We need to know who's coming in. You know, many of us come from immigrant families. My grandmother, next year will be 100 years since she came to America. She came from Ireland in 1925, right? So none of us can say that we're natural born Americans other than the fact we were born here, you know, but we all came from immigration, and immigration is the lifeblood of us as a nation. It gives us new opportunities, new ideas, and reinvigorates how we think and engage. It's necessary for us to continue as we are. But what's not necessary is to have unregulated immigration. We need to know who's coming and who's going to contribute and who's not going to contribute. You know, there used to be a time when people who spoke other languages, they believed in the necessity to speak English because that was the part of the foundational framework of what it meant to be American, to communicate as one people. Now we're diversifying into some European nation or some other third world nation where we have to speak multiple languages. I can tell you, I've been around the world. If you go to Turkey, you have to be able to speak 5 languages just to be a taxi driver, you know, but that's not America. America's supposed to be you do your thing and you contribute and you engage. But that's been destroyed and that's been eroded.
I've got a couple campaign suggestions for you. First and foremost, vote Harshaw because the others are full of horse shit. Well, no, okay, of course. You can't use that one. But Harshaw, the law, and the law. No, that ain't going to work either. Here's one you can maybe use as your walk-on song. Praise the Lord, Harshaw the light. Now, or we're so sorry, Uncle Albert. Well, no. In all seriousness, of course, the name of the game is name recognition. So any way I can find to repeat Harshaw, Harshaw, Harshaw is a good thing, right?
So what we're teaching people, because there is a person named Curtis Bashaw, which is problematic. You know, he worked against Trump actively in 2016. He's lied to the GOP about this. He contributed to Cory Booker prior to making his run for U.S. Senate. So who is he really going to support in 2 years? He's contributed money to socialists/Democrats and worked against the best interests of this country. Because, you know, I win this seat. It'll be my 5th time taking and executing this oath. And to me, in the oath to the Constitution of the United States, is very simply, you reject all other ideologies. You cannot take the oath to the Constitution of the United States and then support socialism or communism, because those are two ideologies in conflict with each other. The fact that you support one means not only are you in conflict with your oath, you're in violation of your oath. You know, it doesn't matter if you're a person or an elected official. These are paramount. And I believe the oath is there for the protection of the Constitution and the people. And it's an oath that we take seriously and should. And it's an oath that we have to be held account to, even if it costs us career and life.
Yeah, Albert, I wanted to get Sage's comments on this. I noticed he's still there, but Sage, did you have any issues or thoughts on what we're talking about? I know you brought up the Civil War, and I wanna get more into that because I think I know where you're gonna go with it.
Yeah, so in regards to some of the stuff that's happening and even with new people running for, and that's great, that's fantastic. I love the fact that new people are getting out there and being a part of politics and stuff like that and bringing in new ideas. The biggest aspect, like I said, like I think we talk about is what, when you look at Civil War, obviously you're looking at leadership and things like that, which we don't really have leadership set up for that aspect per se, but it's more of a verbal confluence or information style war or a ability to communicate with each other. So a lot of the aspects, what you're talking about is trying, how do you go about, I know what you want, right? We know what you want. How do you sell that to somebody? How do you sell that, those ideas back to the people to basically say, hey, we want this style of, let's say, freedom of religion and the freedoms of speech and all these freedoms that we're losing with communism. How would you go and basically debate that or sell that to the people on especially, I'm ex-Coast Guard too, so I also took the oath. I think that's the problem, is actually people want to see headlines and they don't want to read the whole story. So when you're going to explain this to people, the importance of this, what is your viewpoints to kind of sell it to them? That makes sense.
Okay. There's a couple of things there. Let me parse that out.
Yeah.
I do think currently we're in the middle of what's called a soft civil war, because make no mistake, there's entities out there causing conflict, harm, and death to one another. We've seen it with the Antifa, we've seen it in Washington, we've seen it in about 27 other cities. We see it with the cartels and human trafficking and the two diversions of child trafficking, whether it be for sex or body, human tissue, organ harvesting, which is going on currently. So we have these engagements and mechanisms of war. They attack our education, they attack our jobs, they attack our ideologies and our religions. People have been wounded, harmed, and killed. They attack law enforcement, law and order, and any other infrastructure, and they try to muddle down what the meaning of the Constitution is. These are all acts of a foreign adversary that set out to destroy us. So there is a form of soft civil war we're engaged in. I don't agree with the necessity of going into a hard, hot civil war. It's something as a nation, as a people, I do not believe we want. I know I do not. And we should do everything possible to avoid that.
You make bad news into uncut and uncensored news, where facts get released here. Real talk, no filter on Savaged Unfiltered. Savaged.
You're absent individualism because you're subordinate to what their needs are, and you have to do what they say. You have to work and live where you're told. Okay? Which is opposite everything they're fighting for anyway. So we need to educate there.
So if I'm let's say I'm a younger person saying, hey, I like this, you know, participation trophy stuff. I like, you know, things like this, and this is great. I'm going to get free money and all this other stuff. Like from the selling point of your platform, how do you explain? Because I know we know the bad portions of this because obviously we're older. How are you, like, what's the best way do you think to get to the people and convince them that, hey, that's not the route we want to go? Because,
well, our young are highly intelligent. So one of the simplest mechanisms is chess. Chess is one of those tools that most people play, but it teaches you two important values. One, you can't stay where you started and you don't know where you're going to end up, and every move can mean success or failure. I think it's important to have the opportunity. I know I did growing up, and I want our young to have those opportunities. There's much more better self-pride in that accomplishment, you know, even if it's hard. You know, when I was a kid, my dad worked for Bell Labs, AT&T, so we used to go there a lot. I used to be able to put my hands in bins of LMIC chips, you know, the old 8, 12, and 16, and 24 point logic chips, and you had to put tons of them on board to make them operate correctly, you know. And we sold all that stuff out under Andy Kim's watch, under the Democrats, and some of the Republicans who were the unit party in the state. They sold out AT&T to Nokia, so the Bell Labs, the historical vault, which we created the original prototype for a video phone and other technologies, that's gone. You know, one of my showpieces is an item bequeathed to me was the prototype to the laptop. You know, it took a combination of people from college and people who were from trades, because back then in those days, places like AT&T, they hired both, and those were jobs for life. And they recruited from high school and they helped with education, and you know, and you were taken care of, and you provided and you contributed, and you had that success, and you had that value of success, and you had that pride in it. You know, there's a value in accomplishment, you know, and we need failures to teach us.
Yeah, if I may chime in, I notice, you know, you're running there in the state of New Jersey, and I happen to know that area a little bit. I originally come from that area. I was born and raised in New York City in Queens. But my question is to kind of talk about what I'm mentioning right now. I know there's a disconnect in New Jersey. I see the disconnect. I see it with, you know, the mayor there in New York City, Eric Adams. I see it with the mayor there and the governor in New Jersey. How do you plan on fixing that disconnect? How do you plan on fixing some of the issues that's facing that area with the immigration? You're seeing flows of illegal immigration. Now, I don't want to say it has to do with states like Texas and Florida. I happen to live in Florida. I don't want to put the blame on DeSantis. I don't want to put the blame on Greg Abbott. But how do you plan on fixing that huge disconnect of trust? Because a lot of people in those areas of New Jersey, New York City, including Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, are seeing the flows of immigration. How do you plan on bringing that to the state level, Senate level? Because I notice that you're running for the Senate there in New Jersey. How do you plan on bringing that in? How do you plan on fixing all that?
Okay. You're talking about immigration, you're talking about opportunities in that question.
I'm talking about the problems with the immigration. Okay. I'm talking about the flow of illegals coming in, and then we'll talk about the opportunities because I see more opportunities now going to the illegals. I notice companies such as Amazon are laying people off and giving better opportunities to the illegals over the actual citizens. I don't want to talk about that just yet. I want to talk about how do we control the flow of immigration.
Well, first of all, we have laws on the books. We need to follow laws. Part of the problem is everybody wants to make new laws. I think we have plenty of laws that can work. We need to enforce them. We need to stop charging the taxpayers money on laws that never get enforced. You know, we have plenty of immigration. There are controls within the law that we have the ability to extricate illegals that don't meet muster. And that's our job. That's our job. We have an Article 4 responsibility to ensure the safety and well-being of our citizens and states in this nation. And it's our job to do that. We don't need a new law. We need to follow the law. And that's number one. There's a great number of people throughout this country and other states running for, and in New Jersey, running for U.S. Senate and running for Congress and other levels, that we have coalitions that we're willing to do that work and force the obeyment of law. Not the abatement, but the obeyment.
Yeah, and before we go too far, I just want to mention that your primary is in June.
Yes, June 4th.
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing, I like your chess analogy, because I've been kind of using a different one, about strategy. There are a lot of things you could talk to people about, but you're just going to get an eye roll and them walking away from you. So it's strategically stupid to do that. And I like to use a chess analogy. You don't lead with your king. Now, I get it. You can't. But I'm saying if you could, it'd be strategically stupid to lead with your king. So I think people get that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's about the king or the queen. Every piece is equally important to the other, and you can't have success without all the pieces working together. That's the simplest analogy.
Savage. Yeah, and the other thing is, like, the governor there. The governor there, Mike mentioned Murphy. Amazingly, he's losing at 1 o'clock in the morning. They shut down the count. An hour later, they start the count again. Miraculous comeback for re-election.
Yeah, a lot of that goes on. You know, which is why with America First and with Donald Trump, we're teaching people that the overflow the mail-in ballots, do the mail-ins, overflow them so they can't cheat and have numerical superiority in our voting. And we have to work with the tools that we have, not the ones we want, because we're not in control. And until we're inside, we cannot make changes.
Yeah. Hey, Albert, I have a quick question for you before we dip out. Have you brought any of these agendas or, you know, some of the issues that you're working on and, you know, pushing there for New Jersey? Have you brought any of these issues and key thoughts to President Trump at all? Or I'm not sure if you could say
yeah,
that.
They're out there. We've emailed, we made contacts, you know, whether or not they respond or not is another story. You know, they have a lot going on. And right now, we haven't even won a primary yet, so it's not like we're exactly high fruit on the tree at the moment. So I'm sure it'll get there. People in the circles have seen what we're working on along with other candidates, and I'm sure they'll take the best of all the ideas and put them together as long as they fit the agenda. You know, and that's just that we all have different ideas and different mechanisms and methods on how we want to achieve things, and it's about putting together in a homogenous way that'll work. Same things, yeah. Things that need to occur. Yeah.
Well, no, I gotta say though, because this being the first episode back, I haven't had a chance to tease Michael in a few months. Everybody's got different ideas, except Michael. His mind is a complete blank slate. But I'm just kidding. Just a joke. Just a loving jab at my friend.
You talking about Michael from where?
We met through podcasting, so yeah.
Okay.
You know, just a bit of fun, just a bit of fun. That's
you know. Here's the thing. A lot of people want to be a manager. The problem is you have to have something to manage. Of all the people running for the seat, I'm the only one who's done border control and energy independence all around the world. I'm the only one who has the proven decorations and awards and cycles to prove it. I'm the only one who's, you know, running who actually moved 300 million barrels of crude oil through the port of Mina El Sueb and Kuwait when I ran that port. And all this is documented. You want to get a manager to run something? That's all well and good. I'll help you find somebody. But right now we need someone who knows how to capture that and get it back. That's me. That's what I've done. I did it for 15 years in U.S. military. I know how to do it. I'm really good at my job. Right? Let's get our stuff back and then we can debate who's going to manage it. But right now there's nothing to manage. So let's worry about getting our stuff back, get our energy independence, get our borders. Let's work on our education. Let's work on our opportunities for our young. Let's get that done first.
Yeah. And I want to encourage everybody before we, you know, dip out with Albert here and depart from the show. I do want to encourage some of the voters out there in New Jersey to get out, vote for Albert. He does show and represent a strong American First agenda, and we need to see that. We need to see that in November, Albert, because if we don't, I don't want to put the fear-mongering out there, but if we don't see that in November, sadly, I think we're going to get another 4 years of another Biden persona.
Well, here's the problem with the other Republicans. Okay, they've kind of fallen by the wayside. They think their old strategy of attack the Democrats is going to work and this and that. And their playbook is a demonstration of how to lose races. It's not a demonstration of how to win. So as a metric or criteria for success, it's abject failure. Both sides, leadership and both sides have failed us. If they were any good at their positions, we would not be in the situations we are in now. Period. Simple. Attacking Democrats isn't going to get us anywhere. Fact of the matter is we have to recognize the things that unify us. I can tell you with speaking many Democrats, veterans issues and infrastructure and education are things that unite us. Having opportunities for our children to be successful and engage are things that unite us. Those are things we need to focus on because those are things that hurt us both. The ability to buy food hurts us both. The ability to provide for our families hurts us both. Those are things that we can be united on. And those are things we should work on with together.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have to recognize that everyday Democrats are just like you and I, as far as everyday Republicans, right? We're not part of the uniparty establishment. You know, we have to make that online distinction between failure and mismanagement of leadership and the everyday working people. You know, it's us because they always act from the extremes and never worry about us in the middle. And that's both sides.
I agree. Guys, we just had Albert Hawshaw on here running for New Jersey Senate there at the Republican aisle side of politics. I do apologize, guys. I'm usually right on point here with things, but when you don't have coffee, and I've been drinking coffee for years, it tends to kind of mess with you a little bit, so I do apologize. Joe will tell you. He's like, what the hell's wrong with Savage? He's usually right there.
What we're teaching everybody is find and vote for Albert come June 4th, because there is a Curtis Bashaw, so we're trying to simplify it. So as long as you see the name Albert, vote.
I hear you. But thanks very much for coming on the show, Albert. I know we were supposed to do this earlier this week, but we had some scheduling issues, and I do apologize. But it was great talking to you. And truly, I mean, if I lived in New Jersey, I'd vote for you. It seems like you have really
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for coming on, buddy.
Yeah, and if everyone wants to go and donate and help pay for yard signage and literature, go to albert4senate.com. Use the normal number 4. And it's albert4senate.com. And you can email me at contact@albert4senate.com. Or you can call me at 848-326-0207. All right. God bless.
Awesome stuff. And guys, if you missed that, we'll put that in the show notes here on our audio and video formats on Rumble and including X. Thank you very much, Albert. And wish the best there for you in June.
Thank you.
Hopefully his phone will blow up with Savaged Show supporters and not the liberal trolls. Hi, Clueless Nation. We know you're still out there watching and listening. Yeah. But remember, vote for Albert Hawshaw because the others are full of horse shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so we're gonna close this one out, Joe. Wow, one of those episodes, man. It's like, I know I fucked up a little bit, but you know, you're bound to fuck up sometimes, right? But it's the coffee, man. When I have coffee right next to me, and you see me sometimes, I'll drink a cup of coffee as I'm recording, and it just keeps me balanced. And I didn't do this on purpose, guys. I'm right there, but it's just one of those days. We have them sometimes. But yeah. Sage, any final thoughts, buddy, before we close this one out?
No, I want to thank you for having me on. And like I said, you're welcome to have me on anytime if you want to, like, for debating or bringing, you know, different topics on, things like that, just to have a little bit of fun. Just like I said, bring me on. So I appreciate you that. And I had a great time and with the guests and everything else. So that's pretty much it.
And I appreciate coming on. And I look forward to coming on next week with your show, man. Hopefully,
we got to be careful. I can go like for 5 hours live, so we just go. So you better have coffee, just so you know.
Oh God! Oh, you know what? You remind me of that guy up in Canada we just mentioned, Rick Walker. What does he do? Like fucking 3-4 hours, yo! Holy shit, man!
I was on with him 4.5 hours one time. Yeah. So,
oh my God.
But yeah, Michael Savage, regarding your being a little slow today. Yeah, when I was teasing you about having a complete blank slate. It was like, did he fall asleep? He's not reacting to my teasing him.
I'm here.
Thank you, Sage. Now I'm going to have that damn I wear my sunglasses at night song in my head the rest of the day.
Hit the karaoke bar and give me a video of that so we can make that one go viral. Trust me. If I find videos of you doing that out there in the karaoke bars, you're done. We're sending that out to the world.
Right. Hey Sage, for some of my listeners, man, that want to kind of check you out, man, what's the best method that they can reach you?
I'm on X at Sage Outcast. I still put a little bit out on YouTube, but I'm on YouTube at Sage Outcast or the Bathrobe Freight Broker, because I also normally wear a bathrobe, so I didn't do that. But yeah, you can pretty much find me on X at Sage Outcast.
The bathroom out. What was that again? The bathroom what?
No, the bathroom. See, what happened was, is I'm the bathrobe freight broker. So a lot of truck drivers don't like brokers, right? So, and I'm a freight broker, like a logistics person. So one guy came on and said, you know, all you do is sit there in your bathrobe and move freight. And I'm like, that's genius. I'm going to get a bathrobe. And then, so I ended up getting a bathrobe. And so I wear a bathrobe on my show. as the bathrobe freight broker, just because, like I said, I do a lot of stuff to kind of, I can take a lot and joke around with it.
That's great. That's great. I love that. Because we've had truckers on, indeed, bad-mouthing brokers.
Yeah. You know, Sage, I thought, hold on, buddy. I thought I seen that fucking bathrobe in that one clip that you were doing. Yeah, that was absolutely a bathrobe? I thought it was like some kind of like college fucking thing or something.
No, it's a bathrobe. I got a bunch of them, and people keep sending me bathrobes now. So it's like I got a bunch of different bathrobes to wear.
You need a Trump Tower bathrobe now, right?
Well, I'm getting a dollar sign. I'm looking for all the dollar bill bathrobe. Nothing but dollar bills, yo. And I do that. And then I play in a couple skits. Like I do a drunk person and a haul. And then with a dial-up phone. So I kind of bring people in with a little bit of joking around and messing around. But when it comes down to it, like I said, I've been doing it for 20 years. So I do a ton of research and things. So I have an open show.
You got to check out my buddy over there, Bobcat Lament. He's a comedian as well, too, man. He's a funny guy. He's been doing this shit for like over 23 years. I hat tip to you, Bob. I know you're listening, but
my show, it's open format. Anybody can just jump in. So that's some kind of how we go along. Because next thing you know, somebody jumps in and says, "What are you doing, Sage?" I'm like, "Come on in. I'm on the show. Come on on." And they jump in. So it's that type of show. And I'll bring people in and we'll talk about different things, or we'll cover like logistics, or we'll cover the border, or we'll cover topics like that. And that it's usually back and forth. And I usually have a different opinion, or I do debates. Like I do a lot of debating, where I'll debate other people on topics and things also.
Yeah, Sage, thanks very much for coming on, guys. And check Sage out. Sage Outcast, available on X and anywhere you hear a podcast.